Love Line starts now.
It sure does. Again, that phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. With us, none other, Danny Bonaduce. Hey, buddy.
Hey, how are you?
You doing good tonight?
I'm great, man.
All right, excellent.
I got it's weird. I was going to talk to Nicole Alvarez for the rest of the country. That is the young lady that's on before Loveline. And I didn't want to have to use this excuse, but it was true. I got lost on the way to work tonight. It was like I wanted to say, you know, my dog ate my homework because I got lost.
Happens. Well, after years of head injuries and drug use, you can lose enough brain cells to kind of, you know, I'm just saying.
Yeah, that could be it, Doc. Or it could be I took a different route than usual. It could be
You were coming from somewhere else. Let's give yourself a break.
No, I actually was still coming from my house, but normally I leave, you know, I do some stuff before the show. I go to the gym, I take different routes. When I take the freeway, I had no idea how close I actually am to this radio station. And I saw the street I need to get off on go by, and the next street is just a labyrinth.
Oh, you're screwed.
Of mazes.
Yeah, you're screwed. Oh, my God. Getting back from Robertson to La Siena, forget it.
Okay, good. So you totally know. And she knew, too. It was like, I didn't think anybody was going to believe me, but she understood right away.
The streets are all oblique, and they take right angles, and then there's some that are blocked off now.
Mine was blocked off.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Where do you work out? What kind of gym?
I work out at Gold's Gym on Cole Street in West Los Angeles.
So, what's his name? The real, real muscle head gym. That's nice.
It's a fairly. I hope they don't.
I mean, Gold.
Upset.
I mean, but
it's
I mean, Gold.
It's a fairly gay muscle head gym.
Oh,
in West Hollywood.
Well, it's Gym West Hollywood. You know, I mean.
Yeah, exactly. There was a test in some magazine one time that said, "Find out if your husband is secretly gay," and apparently, I came out flaming.
You're gay.
And one of the questions was, how many gym memberships does your husband have? And anything over two, you were gay. I had like five.
You ever hang around the gymnasium?
Yes, I do.
Now you work out, how many days a week?
I try and work out 5 days a week, but this week that's gone by the wayside.
You do two body parts a day kind of thing?
I usually do, I do. Two opposing muscle groups.
Yeah, and then legs on one day.
Yep, although I hate doing legs. I'm always sore. You know what? You know what bothers me a little bit about you? I thought that it was okay that you're the yin and I'm the yang of drugs and sex for this show. You know everything, and I've taken or slept with everything. Yeah. But now you're going to know everything about working out, too? Will you leave me nothing, man?
No, it's your... Here's the deal. You know how to take steroids. You know how to do that.
So do you. You just haven't done half the stuff that you know about. You didn't bother to do. That was smart of you.
No, you know what? The steroid thing is always, as you know, it's in the bathrooms, at the gym and stuff. It's a secret world of people who share recipes and stuff. As a physician, I rarely get to see what the alchemy is. And they won't tell you. Because one guy has one version, and they want to one-up each other. So these are secret potions. And God only knows what they're doing to each other. Hard. Yeah.
The last purchase I made... I said, of course, the same thing I have always said, because I only did it for a short period of time, and you're right, it's a cocktail party. It's who's got what recipe.
They sort of guard their recipes.
Yes.
Oh, this is Joe's recipe.
I said to the guys, I said to all the guys, I need the exact dosages on what days to taper down to what and start taking what again at this time. I want it all written down. If I still have that menu at home, I'll bring it to you.
Oh, really? I'd like to see it.
I would imagine there's no reason to have thrown that out.
It's interesting to me because the reasoning that goes into the different sort of steroid regimens is usually faulty, but the results are unquestionable because that's what they're really going for. They base their recipes based on the results they get. You know, who gets bigger, who gets what, a stronger, whatever.
And
you know, there was a time. Go ahead.
That's what it is. It's an alchemy, but you could just take testosterone. You could do just fine and gain ample size with that. Then when you come off that, you have all sorts of issues. So when you get to these bodybuilder guys, these guys can tell if a change in their diet, because they have so no body fat, they can tell if a change in their diet works within 72 hours, where I couldn't tell for probably 2 weeks to a month.
You know, it's interesting. Back in the 80s, when I used to hang out at gyms, work out, I was, a young man, and there was all this crazy literature and discussions in the medical literature amongst physicians do steroids really make you stronger? No, there's no evidence for that. No evidence they make you bigger or stronger. It's like, are you kidding me? Have you ever walked in the gym in Los Angeles? It's I mean, you can tell who's on the steroids. You know who's on the steroids.
By
of course,
the way,
they deny it.
That's the truth, though. If you go into a gym, a hard body gym, and there's a really big guy and you wonder if he's on steroids, then maybe
he
not.
Is.
But there's a guy, you look at him and you say, well, that guy's on steroids. You're absolutely right every time.
Right.
There's no missing it.
And the neck's a little bigger. The parotid glands are larger. They look a little more swollen and puffy
pimples
in the face.
Pimples on the back.
They got more veins. And they, you know, and they're 5'7", pushing 425 pounds on the bench press.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. There you go. That's the guy.
There's a chance this stuff might work. But because we are the kind of show, we always should point out that there's a very good chance this stuff kills you.
Yeah, I I've been around it a long time. If you notice, one thing I would point out is that the guys that were Mr. America, Mr. Universe, you know, 20 years ago.
Are governors now?
No, he amazingly he made it through all that. But most of them you don't seem to hear about or can't find anymore. A lot of them dead.
Yeah.
A lot of them gone. So it's a pretty serious deal. So let's go to the call. We got some great calls lined up here. So
hey, Drew, real quick. I had a kid that sat behind me in school, and he always used to brag about how many steroids it took.
Yeah.
And he came to school one day, and half of his face just stopped working. Like
Bell palsy?
Yeah. That's because their blood volume expands so much that the blood supply to the nerve coming out of the skull right at the edge of the jaw just cuts off the supply, and the nerve dies. And so it has to grow back, and it grows back a quarter inch a month.
The best part was he was still talking about how great steroids were, but it was just a half of his face was saying.
That's the same way that, you know, after Mary Jo Buttafuoco's face stopped working, she kept backing up her husband. People will do really weird stuff.
That's, by the way, that about summarizes Loveline. And if you like that, keep listening. Mariah.
Yeah?
Here you go. You're on with Danny Bonaducci.
And Dr. Drew.
What's up?
We're good.
How's it going? What can we do for you?
Okay. I used to date this guy, and me and him did a lot of things together, like a whole bunch, like everything but vaginal sex. And I'm with this guy now. He doesn't want to do any of that at all, and I've talked to him about it, and he just doesn't want to. And I don't know what to ask him or tell him, but he, like, every day he'll ask if he can go down on me, but if I ask to go down on him, he's like, no, no, no.
How come you're not marrying this guy?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, although, you know, most guys find it a pleasure to pleasure women in any way, shape, or form, and I question any guy that doesn't like oral sex performed on him. It seems guy's going to...
I think at least say you couldn't hang out with him.
What?
Yeah. No, he's exactly right. And there's is there a chance this guy's gay?
No, he's not.
No, in that statement, I just learned a ton about Danny Bonaducci. Because the guys that are just really, really, really into the oral sex cannot imagine a guy who is not. And and so the guy that is literally turning it away constantly, that's incomprehensible to Danny. So
you're almost 100% right, but I will say this. I can imagine Bigfoot. I just don't see him very often. I can imagine a guy that doesn't like a every now and again. I just don't know him.
Well, he's never had one before, and he's like, scared of it.
Is he freaked out, or does he have religious values, or some reason that he's afraid of, you know, what is his reason for that, for being that way?
I don't know. I asked him, and he said he just isn't comfortable with it, and I tried to ask him what makes him uncomfortable, and he just changes the subject.
And yet he wishes or is willing to do that for you?
Yeah, like, every day. He's like, hey, you want to have some fun? I'm like...
Has he done it for you?
Yeah.
Is he okay? Does he know what he's doing?
Yeah.
Right, well, he'll come with time. Yeah, relax.
If this was a reverse call and it was a girl saying, my boyfriend only wants me to go down on him, but he won't go down on me, I would get that. I would just say he's rude and selfish. But this, I don't get at all. This is beyond my scope.
It's weird.
And I get that Danny's head is spinning around like a top right now, but it doesn't necessarily mean he's gay. Because he's with you, he likes girls, he likes pleasuring you, it's fine. He just, how old is he?
He's 20.
He's inexperienced. He's for his age, especially. Okay?
He may not be gay, but I'll bet his boyfriend is.
Becky.
Yeah.
There we go. What's happening?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Pleasure to talk to you, Danny. I loved watching you on The Other Half. I really, really missed that show.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah.
What's up?
Anyway, I kind of have a two-part question here for you guys. The first part is I used to date this guy who he would always talk about having anal sex with me, and I am mad about it. Did not want to do it. Anyways, turned out one night we were having, like, normal sex, and he told me that it slipped. Just wondering
if
this is
slipped into the anus.
What?
Slipped into your anus?
Yeah.
Oh.
Actually in? Slipped in?
Yes.
Not slipped okay. And out, you ran away.
It yeah, because I got to question your anatomy.
That he was able to do that.
We were doing doggy style, so...
Right, but did he have you tied up? I mean, believe me, if I were to come to your house with, I don't know, let's say a red-hot branding iron, and while you weren't expecting it, touched it to your right buttock, you would have about the same reaction you would have to unexpected anal sex.
I did.
You would leap
I
for the ceiling.
Up, and I was out of there. I was...
And so was he.
So, did he actually didn't penetrate? Fully, he didn't fully
it was
penetrate.
Like in and out, and that was it, and that was over.
It felt like it was full penetration, but really it was just heading in that direction. That is possible that he did that, but believe me, he had some responsibility. He played some part in that accident. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's taking aim, and he's hoping for that accident. And he's, you know, did that, by the way, end his pressuring you?
Oh, it ended everything. The relationship was done.
It ended the relationship over there.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Why?
That's awesome.
A legitimate accident.
I told him how I felt about it.
All right, let me ask you this. Have you ever been making love to your boyfriend or any other man and accidentally had it slip out when you were in the missionary position and it just came out and was on top of you?
Well, I don't have a problem with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so what happened is obviously some men... Wait a second. Some men have slipped out of you without being dumped immediately. You recognized it for the accident it was, right?
He knows how I felt about it, though.
I think something followed, though. So you told him how you felt about it after the accident, and how did he respond to that?
Before.
Yeah, but it was an accident. Did you after that you said, I'm sorry, you're out of here, leave?
Well, I kind of ran out of the room, and that was that.
You weren't that into this guy anyway. Come on.
Yeah, that's what it is, Doc.
Not really. But can I get to the second point of my question?
Yeah, what is your second point?
I know there was
very
more.
Quickly. Very quickly. By the way, let me just make a point before you get to your point. And that is that the leading cause of fractured penis is the slippage and hitting into the perineum.
I know a guy, actually. My old producer in Detroit.
Knows a guy.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody knows a guy.
So what is your second question?
Okay, so the only time that I can have a really, truly intense, real orgasm is if I'm using a vibrator on my clit when I'm going to the bathroom.
When you're going to the
bathroom? While you're actually going to the bathroom?
Yeah.
I was all with you right till then.
Defecating or urinating?
Defecating.
Oh, that's interesting. How weird that all this is all around the butt.
You might want to rethink kicking this guy out.
Well, no, I'm just scared of it. I mean, I don't know. Is that normal? Is that weird?
Well, you want to go first, Doc?
Go ahead.
All right. Here's why you're scared of it. Because it really, really hurts. Okay? There's no two ways around it. It hurts as much or more than you think it's going to. I've never seen anybody, even women that have done it a few times, I've never seen them react really well to it. I know one girl who says she loves it, but I've never done it with her. I've never seen a girl that wasn't doing it as a favor for the guy, for me. That's all I know. So it is going to hurt. That's why you're afraid.
Yeah.
And then
but
what
is
about...
Is there something to it going in as opposed to it coming out?
She wants to know if it's normal if she can only have big orgasm using a vibrator while defecating.
Nope.
That's not normal?
Of course not.
Yeah. In fact, you know that's not normal. No, none of your friends talk about doing that, do they?
Well, no. It's just gross.
I mean,
you would have to
surf the web for a year just to find the right video about that.
Did you make this up?
No, not at all.
No, I believe, but I'm not as... you've been at this a long time, and you're the doctor.
No, I believe her. I just wondered. I just had to ask. Well, there's no doubt that stimulation in that area for some women is important and useful, and obviously using a vibrator is a more efficient way to reach climax.
Mm-hmm.
Is it normal in the sense, is it common? No.
No.
Does it suggest some serious pathology? No. I find it curious that the whole sort of theme of this call is about your rear, your tush, and, on one hand you like it, on the other you don't. I don't know what that all means.
Right.
But
I was just wondering if there was like some anatomical reason why going out is more pleasurable than going in. That's
there's no special reason for that. Nothing that you can characterize.
Yeah,
but
I think
you're
going against design.
You need a boyfriend, Becky, right? You need some guy you're into and kind of work all this stuff out, okay?
I'm trying.
don't you think? Isn't that bottom line?
Well, yeah.
I don't ever want to do it again, but...
No. I just mean, you know, a guy that you can dump because he slips means you're not in a good relationship, and you need a good relationship, right. And then you'll figure all this stuff out with the good guy, right? I mean,
a woman will allow you, if she thinks that you are that you love her and that you love her desperately, she will allow for a few mistakes, and let alone one little slippage. I've actually slipped and landed on people and been forgiven.
I mean, look how many times poor Gretchen's had to forgive Danny, and she's still there.
Not that many times, Doc.
Danny.
Okay, a few.
All right. Lisa.
Hello?
What's happening?
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Okay, my question is, I have this boyfriend, kind of, for, like, the past month or so, and, like, we would have sex, and, like, we'd have, like, sexcapades that last from, like, 2 to 5 in the morning, and, like, all he did is want to do was, like, missionary style. It was, like, me basically laying there, and I tried turning it over a few times. Like, the one time I got dry on top was basically when I woke him up doing it. And he let me, I asked him, and he allowed me to, like, do doggy style with him, or he did doggy style to me, more or less. And now he doesn't call anymore. Did I, like, scare him off?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Crap.
Weird. There's nothing more frightening, because this is obviously a young woman, and there is nothing more frightening to a young man than a sexually... experienced woman, and not even experienced. It's not the word I'm looking for.
Let's,
when she
let's
asks,
qualify that. Well, you see, okay. you're sort of experiencing is kind of demanding.
And no,
guys no, get, me.
No, I know this. You're not, but Danny's sort of talking about it sexually demanding.
No. He's wondering, and there's Mike at 46 years old. I can still have the mind of a child on this one.
Where
all
she
he's
been.
Thinking is where she learned that.
Yeah.
Who taught her that?
And the other hand, that's that guy. You know what I mean? And you got to admit that maybe you got a little bit of that in you. You got that that jealousy gene.
That's all I am.
Yeah, and I don't have a lot of that. So for me, that and for a lot of people I've talked to, that might be a good thing. That might be something that a guy would just go. But not this guy is the bottom line. For this guy, for whatever reason, he was not into it. And that also, by the way, means that he just wasn't that into the relationship as well.
Yeah.
Or maybe it reminded him of the gay sex that he was having before her, and he ran back to it.
Well, everybody's going gay on this show tonight. No, I really think that he couldn't handle the pressure of either where did she learn to do that, or just doing that, just performing was difficult and frightening for him. Sex, you know, can be really scary for a guy who wants to make sure he's delivering, yet isn't exactly positive how. Because one thing guys have learned about women over the years is we found out you guys do talk about us. We didn't know that. You talk about our size, our girth, our moves, what we do, if we're great, if we suck, and you tell it to your friends. And I've had girls talking to my wife about their boyfriends and lovers and husbands right in front of me. And the next time I see them, I go, oh, yeah, you're the guy with the little wiener. I know you. That's just, you know, a lot of guys can't handle that.
But Lisa, here's a...
I don't know. what
say that again?
His dick was good. Like, it was good size.
That's good
times, Lisa.
Good times, yeah.
Here's
thanks
the
for saying, say that again, Lisa. Thanks, Doc.
but Lisa, here's the deal. I don't want you to have to feel bad about yourself because you're sort of comfortable. And that's a shame. That's a good thing that you're that way. And if you're in a real relationship with somebody who really cares about you, it will be a good thing. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Yeah, that was actually the, well, actually, like, that's news. That's the real information, Doc.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sitting there telling what the guy is thinking, but not for 1 minute telling the young lady that she's doing the right stuff.
In the meantime, her hair is standing on end. Dave, what's up?
Yeah, hi. I was wondering, when you're getting ready to break up with somebody and you're sleeping with them, when do you stop sleeping with them?
At the moment you decide you're going to break up.
I disagree vehemently.
I know. Okay, but let me give my case. You give yours. My case is of course, as a guy, you want to keep going until they throw you out. But it's exploitative. It's deceitful and it's unfair. If you that woman, you're talking about a guy or a girl?
No, girl.
Girl. She knows. She believes that if you're having sex with her, A, there's still a possibility, B, you still have feelings for her, and C, yeah, he wants to break up, but how can I possibly believe him when he's still doing this? It's unfair, it's exploitative, and I think it's...
Right. So. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, you know, but I'm not sure. Let me try and talk
you out of that.
All right, so let Danny here talk to you now.
Okay, the next time it comes down to a moral question, though, Doc, you should let me go first, because now I'm ashamed of myself. But here I go anyway. I really feel bad, because you're right. But here's what I think right up into the doctor opens his big, educated mouth. And that is that you should continue to sleep with her until you find someone else to sleep with. And then sleep with her a couple times, make sure you really like it, then go back and break up with your girlfriend. but never go without sex, ever.
Right.
That's like calling me up and saying to me with a straight face, listen, I'm going for a hike in the Mojave. When exactly should I get water? The answer is all the time.
Right. Well, no, I'm just thinking that, you know, we don't live real close together, so we only sleep together maybe like once a week. And I don't want to, you know, I'm trying to maybe overthink the breakup and try and time it right so it doesn't mess up our life the worst possible in the world. And then I'm thinking, like, you know, if I stop, then it's like, well, wait, hey, what's going on? You know what I mean? And I don't, you know, but I agree with Dr. Drew so far. Sorry. But, yeah.
You're the guy going to knock you laid. Go ahead, tough guy.
Well, you could also say, Danny, you could also give the other advice. This is what women do, by the way, is line up another one and then break up.
Yeah, that's all I was saying.
All right. Fair enough.
Because that's what women graphically.
Women keep a bullpen. You know what I mean? They massage and prepare and they, you know, get something to jump off into when they're done.
This is mostly an expression for women, though, but a girl once told me, a wise woman once said to me, the best way to get over someone is to get under someone else.
Nice.
And I have to agree with that.
Cat? Caller who goes by Cat? There you are, Cat. What's up?
She's turned down your radio, Cat.
Hello?
There we go. Turn off your radio, please.
Okay.
Hi, Cat. What can we do for you?
Hi, I'm calling because, okay, I'm 20 years old, and my mom thinks that I'm a sex addict. And
were you just having sex now?
No, sorry.
What were you doing?
I'm driving home from work.
I couldn't come to the phone, but that's the only place.
No.
Thank you.
Okay, but I've slept with 12 guys, and the last guy I slept with was 31, and the guy I'm sleeping with now is 38. And my mom thinks this is a huge issue and that I'm a sex addict.
It may be a huge issue, but it doesn't matter if the last guy had two heads. It doesn't make you a sex addict. Right, Doc?
Okay.
Well, not yet. Not what you've told us so far. Do you have a history of sexual abuse?
Yeah, I don't know when it started, but until I was about 10, my dad was sexually abusing me.
Yeah, I was going to say.
There we go.
Yes.
Like last year, my brother was, too.
All right, so your mom has reason. Does she know about that, your mom?
Yeah.
All right, so she has reason to be concerned about this, and the fact that you're acting out with older men does, I mean, just, you know, use your imagination for a second. It looks like a young woman trying to reenact the traumas of the past with dad. Older man, abusive, they'll tend to be abusive, dangerous guys, I'm sure. And, I think maybe it's not sexual addictions per se, but it certainly has something to do with that traumatic past you have.
Okay.
And have you ever had a therapist?
Yeah, I was in counseling from when I was like 10 till I was 18, and then I've been going off and on for the last year.
Didn't anybody say to you what the doctor said to you? Because I was sitting here looking at what time it was, and I heard exactly what the doctor just stabbed me back out of, because that's just so obvious. I mean, when you said it, it was like, wow, I was going to say something else, but that's the answer. Older guys reenacting the abuse with that. The doc couldn't be more right on this one.
Yeah, and you can approach it. There are many ways to approach this. One is what are called cognitive behavioral therapies, where you sit with a therapist and try to rethink your thinking and your feelings about your relationships. Another would be sort of a deep psychotherapy, and then finally 12-step. Depending on, are you an alcoholic also?
No.
Yeah, I didn't kind of get that feeling. And it also feels like the therapy you have had has been somewhat successful. I mean, your life is not particularly chaotic, is it? Or is it?
Really? Not really. Well, like the most that's going on right now is I was married. I met this guy when I was like 18, fell in love, got married.
All right, so here's the deal.
Here we go.
So through the therapy, you've been able to learn to manage your feelings and not to act out in a chaotic way. And so your sort of personality and character function is better. You're not, you know, miserable and depressed, and you're able to sort of be functional, and you're dealing with the trauma of the past, but you still have this remnant behavior, which is an acting out or recreation of the trauma of the past, and which is what all humans do, is when things have been horrible and terrorizing, we go into our adult life and we recreate it. We cast people in that role of abuser, and we recreate the abuse over and over and over again. And unless you do something to correct that, your mom has reason to be concerned. Okay, Kat? Right.
Well, see, and that's the thing, too, is it's like every guy I've ever been with was my age, except for the last two guys that I've been with. And they're both, neither of them are, like, abusive or anything. They were both really nice guys.
That's today. Yesterday they were your age. The next day they're in the 30s. The next day they're abusive.
And not only that, you know, when you're 33 thinking about the, who's that guy that dates the 20-year-old, you'll see where it's exploitative and abusive just by the very nature of what's going on here. All right, Kat, thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right. Danny Bonaducci remains with us the rest of the week, and it's getting to be fun, right?
It's getting to be. Are you kidding?
So it's awesome. All right, the phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Danny and Drew and you when we return. And here we are on Loveline. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Danny and Drew in here tonight, and your calls, which have been really good so far.
Really good.
Yeah, we've learned about steroids. We've learned about... about
you know when you said, it's getting fun, isn't it? Right, as we went to the break?
Yeah.
I wanted to say, but I knew we had to go. I wanted to say, you know, probably at some point in your life, you said to yourself, that's it. I want to be a doctor. I think it was sometime in the middle of last night's show with Hoobastank and some crazy girl on the phone, and I just thought, I was born to do this.
Yes.
I found my place in the world.
Huh? Radio, it's me.
Oh, God, this is fun.
I can't believe it took you that long to realize this.
I knew it was fun. I didn't know it was this fun.
A what? Right.
Uh-oh, hi.
No, she's not there. That was Anderson dropping people in. But
was
now
that
this
being
is
clever?
This is Sapphire. Sapphire?
Hi.
Hey, what's happening?
Anderson.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, after I have some classes with my boyfriend, he usually doesn't wait for me like his best friend does. He usually just, like, runs out of the class.
Are you in high school?
Yeah.
Is that little boy stuff, Doc, or...
Well,
what
do you mean by your boyfriend? What does that mean?
He's my boyfriend.
No, I mean, what do you do? Do you date? Do you see other people? I mean, what does that mean?
Yeah, we date.
And so you just kind of hang out together?
Yeah.
Does he see
Are
other
you sleeping
people
with him?
Huh?
Are you sleeping with him?
Yeah.
Okay. You have sex with him?
Huh?
You have sex with him?
Yes.
Do you think he does that with other people?
I'm hoping not.
But you don't really know, huh?
No.
Yeah. The fact that you don't know that is a bad sign.
Yeah.
You see, have you not had the conversation with him about, hey, we're not going to see anybody else, are we, kind of thing?
Yeah, I have.
And what does he say to that?
He's fine with that. He's like, yeah, I don't really want to anyway, so I'm
Do other people in school know that you're dating?
Yes.
Okay, because, I mean, there was obviously the thing that he's embarrassed. If he's embarrassed of you, is he embarrassed by you? Is he embarrassed to have a girlfriend? Is he lying? There's a lot of things, because you don't bail in high school. You can't wait for the bell to ring so you can be with your girl, so you can walk down the hallways holding hands, looking all grown up.
Maybe he has a really strict dad, and he has to get home and do chores.
Nobody does chores.
Maybe he's grounded.
Can we give Anderson a timeout? Is that possible?
Timeout. I don't know what to say, Sapphire. It's just a little suspicious. As Danny is saying, normally, guys are kind of enthusiastic about spending time with a girl that they're having sex with at a young age, and they consider their girlfriend. The fact that he runs away and the boyfriend, I wonder if he's covering for him. I mean, the best friend, you know, is covering for him in some way or feels bad that the guy runs off. I don't know. How often do you see him a week?
At least 6 times a week, every day, basically.
After school, like, you go to his house, that he comes to your house?
Yeah.
And yet, there's one period where he runs away.
We have 3 hours together.
Maybe he's just sick of you.
Oh, thanks. I feel loved.
Okay, good. I don't know what to tell you, although here's a possibility. What do you and the best friend do? What do you guys talk about?
We just hang out and talk about music, basically.
I wonder if there's issues there. Go ahead, Doc.
I don't know. We're just not going to know. Sapphire, I'm sorry. We have to talk to... He wants to call him? We can talk to him. The only way you're going to find out is when you ask him. And we'd be happy to do that for you if you want. Do you want us to call him?
No.
Okay. Okay.
Who cares?
I'm kind of in that camp, too.
Yeah,
Anderson.
Me too.
I rarely get to that point. Deacon.
What's going on?
Hey, buddy.
Man, Danny, you the man, bro.
Thank you. What's up?
Not much. I got a problem with when I get an erection. If I get fully aroused, when I say faint, I don't mean I go completely unconscious, but I will get woozy headed and lose track of. It's not like I faint almost.
Every time?
Not about 70% of the time. It affects my sex life dramatically for obvious reasons.
Now wait a minute. When you get fully aroused or when you climax? Are you talking about your erection?
I guess climax.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Is that a medical condition or is there a medication that could? Is there a reason that that's happening?
At the point of climax, you become lightheaded and nearly pass out.
Yes.
Are you on any medication currently?
I take pain medication for my back. I had a back surgery.
Recently. What kind of medication?
Vicodin.
Vicodin, hydrocodone 10, and Soma for muscle relaxation.
Yeah, that you should. Yeah, you're an addict, buddy.
Could
Sorry.
The problem be that you're wasted?
Yeah. That's why this is happening. Particularly the Soma will do that. So get off it, all right?
Okay, thank you.
And probably you probably have difficulty having an orgasm, too, with those two medicines.
Yeah, I go forever.
You have to almost kill yourself to get to an orgasm, and of course you nearly pass out afterwards.
Right, because I was just, this is embarrassing to admit, but the last time I made love to my wife, afterwards she said, God, you have to quit smoking. Because it wasn't like a gnarly ordeal, it was just sort of run-of-the-mill, been married a long time sex, and we're sitting there watching TV afterwards, and I'm going, if I were tanked on Vicks, man, I'd had a grabber by now.
Oh,
I'd had
my.
A complete stroke. Okay, so that's what the doctor's right now. You got to get off the Vicodin and Soma.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, that's a, you do need to stop smoking cigarettes.
No, because listen to this, Doc, because we've talked about this a couple of times on this show. That one that really sticks with me is the guy whose girlfriend would like to see his ejaculation on her. Remember?
Oh, yeah, remember that guy, yeah.
But she liked to see lots of it, and he couldn't do that often. So it was like the perfect torture. His girlfriend wants the coolest thing ever, yet he has to wait to do it. That's like me and sex and Vicodin or sex and smoking. It's just like this horrifying. Because what's... There's only one thing in the world better than sex, and that's the cigarette immediately afterwards. And possibly the Vicodin before, back in the old days. So they all just sort of eat at each other. So the doc's right on this. If you want to continue to have any kind of reasonably good sex, you've got to get off the drugs. And that's motivation enough for anyone.
You said that with such glorious romance. It made me want to start smoking. Jan, what's happening? Jan.
Yeah.
Hey, you're on with Danny.
I am?
Yeah.
Andrew.
Oh, Danny, I just wanted to say I've missed hearing your voice on the radio. I used to hear you all the time. I was flipping stations, and I heard you, and I just wanted to say it's so good. I hope you're back on again.
Well, thank you very much. You're very kind. You can count on me for the rest of the evening and tomorrow, and then all bets are off.
Well, I hope you just find us somehow. Get yourself out there. I used to listen to you every morning, and I really miss hearing you. I really miss hearing your opinion. Why? I just thought he was great. I really, you know what? Every one of us has our own issues and our own problems, but I really like Danny.
Every one of us has our own issues, and mine's Danny.
No.
Well, thank you. You're
no,
very
I
sweet.
I didn't mean that in a bad
no.
way at all.
I got it. I'm kidding you. You're all good. It's all good. Well, I'll tell you what. I can highly recommend Kevin and Bean in the morning, and you can't go wrong there. And I'm good through the rest of the night and tomorrow, and then you'll find me somewhere. I can pretty much guarantee it. This is what I do. So thank you for your compliment, and I really appreciate it.
Roxanne. Roxanne?
Hold on.
I love when people...
This is Dr. Drew.
No. I'm happy I'm speaking to you.
Well, it's not me that I got upset that you're holding on for. It's the national radio audience that you're asking to hold on.
Hold on a second, you guys.
No. It's because I had my boyfriend online, but I just told him that, like, I just hung up on him, and he said if he was serious that I was really talking to him.
All right.
So far you're not.
Well, the thing is that me and my boyfriend have been dating for about 5 months. And the thing is that we've been having problems, and he says it's because I don't trust him. But sometimes, like, he just does little things that bother me,
like what?
Okay. Like, well, this is the one problem we're having right now. It's that, well, when we first started dating, I went to one of his friends' kickback, and his friend is a girl. And we were drunk.
No, it's not. Go on, but that was my first call.
And then I went to the kitchen, and there they were hugging, like, really tight and close. And so, of course, I freaked out, and I got mad. And then,
well, you know why they were hugging, right?
Well, he said he was apologizing for something that I don't remember anymore.
Probably bad sex, but either way, it was sex. He's definitely sleeping with her.
Well, he said that they didn't do anything. I asked him, I was like, have you flirted with her before? I was like, do you have kissed or, I don't know, anything between you guys? And he says that no. Mm-hmm. And so then it just started being a problem, and she said that she didn't like me. And I just said, okay, well, I don't like her back, and I don't like you talking to her, because maybe since she's his friend, then she's probably...
Hey, Roxanne, how can we help? What do you need from us?
I just want to know if I'm being too is the problem me? And now he's talking to her again, and he says that before he stopped talking to her, because he said that I was more important and that he didn't want any problems.
Yeah.
Who cares?
I'm going there again with Roxanne, but here's the deal, Roxanne.
That's two for two, man.
Yes and no, in that it's kind of not great of him to not honor your feelings and be careful of how his behavior affects you. And young men can be pretty clueless about this kind of thing, but you've brought him along, you've educated him, and it sounds like at the beginning he was willing to kind of pay attention and be careful, and then all of a sudden he became kind of obstinate. I don't think he's cheating, but I'm not sure this is I don't know, I just, the way the guy approaches you, not sure you deserve that kind of treatment. And it seems like it's so confusing for you, and he's not doing anything to support you or make you feel good about the relationship or where it's going. It just doesn't sound like it's heading in the right direction. So, although it's not an egregious situation, it's not as though the guy's an a-hole, just kind of moving in a direction that you probably could do better somewhere else. That's kind of my thinking. Oh. Danny, what do you think?
The quickest answer is A, if it has a penis attached to it, don't trust it.
Okay, There is that. Yes, there's always that. Although, I'm trying to be a little more refined about it and say, this guy's cheating. But I don't think
you were all grown up trust it.
I'm not sure trusting is what I was advocating, but yes, I just don't think this guy's cheating at this time. Okay. Not that he couldn't.
Yeah, and he will later.
Which does bring up an interesting point. You know, men and women cheat for very different reasons. You know, right. You think, Danny?
Absolutely.
Think women, give me your thoughts on this.
I think that men cheat specifically for the sex and the excitement, and women cheat because they get emotionally involved with someone.
That's what they get from cheating. Why do they cheat? What sets them up for it, do you think?
Ooh,
I think it's the same thing, frankly.
A lack of fulfillment at home?
The women?
Yeah.
Yeah, women cheat because they're not, quote, getting their emotional needs met, unquote. Right. And they'll, you know, they will give lots of warning. They'll be for 6 months telling the guy, dude, you know, you're always out with your friends. I told you we need to spend more time together. How come you never take me out to dinner? 6 months of that, and then the guy goes, I don't know, everything was going fine. And all of a sudden, one day, she cheats with Bill. What am I supposed to do? And then the guys cheat basically because they can.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When guys don't believe that their behavior is going to be A, found out, or B, not really going to hurt anybody, they're doing it. That's it. That's it.
Yeah, I think that's it. I don't know any man who is in love that wants to hurt the woman he is in love with. He just doesn't see. He sees this as a victimless crime every time.
As long as nobody finds out about it.
It's all fun and games until somebody loses an eye.
And so on some level, he knows that this isn't going to be received well, because he wouldn't want his girlfriend cheating. And I think as men age, they begin to become more attuned to what it really does to relationships when they cheat, which it F's it up completely.
You know what? I didn't realize that it F'd it up completely. I'm going to be dead honest with you. I didn't realize it was F'd up until I actually changed my behavior and things got better. Because I thought, I'll stop cheating and I'll stop drinking, although I stopped cheating long before I stopped drinking and drugging. But I'll stop cheating, and I'll stop drinking, and I'll have the same life I've always had, except I'll have to look at it sober. And I'll be damned if things didn't get better and fast, if there's a lot of laughter going on in my house. And I didn't expect that, because I didn't see what you said, all the stuff leading up to it, except it was my stuff, that I didn't think anybody would get hurt, and I was hurting inch by inch every day. And when I stopped the injury, it started to heal, and things just got great in the Bonaducci house.
And really what you were doing is trying to manage all that stuff with the drugs, with the sex, with that. And then when you stop it and let the more meaningful stuff grow, you don't want to do that stuff quite as much. You still but not quite as much.
I will tell you sincerely that I have never enjoyed my life the way I've enjoyed it now. Having said that, I must tell you, handfuls of drugs and strange women was pretty interesting.
Yeah, yeah. But be that as it may, that's why I find it difficult to understand how a guy like Clinton could cheat, come on. I mean, the consequences are so profound. Well, not just that, not just the, who he chose, but...
You mean that he was the president?
That he could be that clueless about the impact of what he was doing. I mean, come on. You know what I mean? It's so destructive. He has a daughter, he has a wife, he's got a country. It's like, come on.
Yeah, but he's married to Hillary.
I'm just saying. But then again, that's your point. If he maybe gave that a chance... Maybe he'd find something more meaningful there. I don't know. Hey, who knows?
Are you kidding me with that? Doc, I agree with you almost 100% of the time. This is a shock to me that you don't think it's a reasonable conclusion to cheat on Hillary Clinton.
I kind of know where you're going. I see where you're going. I feel you. I feel you.
Is it 1996? What's going on?
All right, let's get on with this. We're going to take a little break. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Danny Bonaducci and Dr. Drew. And we'll get back. We're going to talk to Nicole, who, here's the call. I'm going to quote what's on the screen. Okay. Boyfriend has chunky sperm. She prefers smooth. What are the chunks? We'll be right back.
I drink to that.
That's right. Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Danny Bonaducci, Dr. Drew, and Nicole. Nicole, what's happening there, honey?
Well, I'm 18 years old, and I'm going to school to be an LVN. And I know this question may sound really stupid. I have a boyfriend, and we've been together for 2 months now, and his sperm is chunky. And in the past, with my husband, my ex-husband now, it was never like that.
My goodness, you're 18 with a ex-husband. I like those two sounds paired. That goes well together. Nicole? It's not something that is written about in the medical literature, but certainly something that comes up on this show. And you're sort of talking about the tapioca pudding consistency, right?
Yes. Can this be from, like, the weed he smokes?
No. It tends to be just some guys do that. More than not, the duration between ejaculations tend to contribute to that. It's sort of when fluid accumulates, it's mucopolysaccharides, that sort of thing, and they sort of congeal. And if you keep the plumbing moving, it's less likely to happen.
I'm going to tell that to my wife when I get home.
Yeah.
As soon as I understand about half of those words, I'm going to tell them to my wife.
Basically, frequent ejaculation without delay is good prostate hygiene. Let's put it that way.
Thank you, doctor.
Just saying.
So are you having sex with this guy a lot or a little or almost never?
About 3 times a week.
That's plenty. I mean, not for me.
Maybe he may need a little more than that, perhaps. But even then, he may be just a guy that forms chunks, and it may not... May not change. This is Kelsey.
I'd break up with a guy over that. If I were a girl, serious biz. If I had gotten used to one consistency.
You said that awfully sincerely, like, oh, my God.
I think that's grounds for I got to go, man. I'm sorry, but you're all chunky, and I can't deal with that. Goodbye.
Kelsey.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hey. What happened?
Well, I was just calling. I called about a year ago, maybe a little longer. And I wanted to talk to you about my attraction to gay men. Yeah. And you gave me some really great advice. I just wanted to say thank you. Kind of got me to be a little bit more brave and get rid of some unrealistic expectations about guys. And I've been in a really, really great relationship for about a year and a half now. So
congratulations. That's
really
great.
Good, yes. So
yeah,
thank you very much.
Just real quick, could you, in 30 seconds or less, give me the highlights of Dr. Drew's advice to you about hanging out with gay men.
Or not hanging out with gay men.
My attraction to them was having really unrealistic expectations of straight men and kind of putting gay men on kind of a pedestal. And also being kind of scared of sex and really fearful of that. And so I've really gotten past all of that.
How were you able to get over that? Yeah.
Dr. Drew, because of you, man. Take the credit.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, just realizing that, you know, I needed to be kind of more self-aware and realistic and just appreciate kind of the men in my life for, you know, what they had to offer.
Good for you. That's great. Well done. Did you have any therapy or anything? You just sort of came to that on your own, huh?
Yeah, pretty much on my own, yeah. So
any new relationships with women? Any new kinds of friendships, that sort of thing?
No, but I would say the friendships that I do have are better now. I think
because
kind of
it sounds like Yeah, I would. To come to that kind of an evolved place usually requires some new kind of relating to people. And oftentimes, yeah. Really good, caring friendships will sort of make you look at yourself more honestly. So that's great.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I have one more question for you. I have a 13-year-old cousin who is kind of deceitfully behind her parents' back, still seeing the 16-year-old that she was forbidden from seeing.
Tell
and
the parents.
I feel like I kind of have some clout as far as being able to get through her. And I'm just not sure how to approach this situation without alienating.
I'm sorry I have to cut you off because we have to go, but straight ahead, don't worry about alienating. You're really trying to protect and save the health and well-being of a young person. Do not hold back at all when it's a situation like that. 1-800-LOVE-191. This is Loveline. We'll be right back. We are back on Loveline. The phone number, of course, 1-800-LOVE-191. Danny, doing all right?
I'm doing great, man.
How many cigarettes in that break?
Guess what, tough guy? When I left, I went to the kitchen. Excuse me. I'm eating raspberry shortbreads and fruit snacks.
Not a lot of smoke in the kitchen there, Danny.
Yeah, I know. See, I didn't smoke that whole break.
Oh my God. It's hard for me to believe.
Yeah, it was a big, we actually discussed it in the hallway. I said, come on, man, help me pick. And we all went with fruit snacks.
Wow. All right, this now is Jamie.
Hello.
Hi, Jamie. What's happening?
Jamie.
How are you guys?
We're good.
We're good. What's up?
You sound depressed.
Not really. I'm okay. Kind of.
Just do it!
I was wondering what exactly, Vicodin does to your head, because, yeah.
All right, so far, first of all, you're going to have to speak in a language that I understand. You're going to have to be a little more clear so I can get it.
What exactly does Vicodin do to you?
It saturates the endorphin system. It saturates the endorphin system. It also, in genetically predisposed individual, will trigger addiction very easily. It's an oral form of heroin, basically.
Okay, because...
How many are you on right now?
None. Not right now. I don't have any anymore, but...
How many do you normally take at a time or throughout the course of 24 hours? Four or five a day?
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been doing that?
Not right now. I haven't had any for a while because I don't really have a way of getting it.
All right, let's get right down to it. Jamie, yep. Jamie, right, you're 15 years old. You're already strung out on Vicodin. And so that means heavy-duty trauma. So what happened to you? Are you, in and out of foster families? What happened?
Oh, not really.
Well, what happened? What's the trauma about? I mean, at 15, you sound depressed. You sound miserable. You're already strung out on opiates. What's the deal? What's going on?
I don't know, I guess. My dad was kind of crazy. Well, not crazy, but I don't know how to say it.
What'd he do to you?
When he used to get really angry, he's giving me, bloody noses. And
all right, so he beats you. You're physically abused. You're beaten by your father. Anything else? Have you been raped or any of that good stuff?
No. No.
Thankfully, we've avoided that so far.
Huh. Yeah, by the way, you won't, if you start taking Vicks on a real regular basis, you won't even be able to remember the things that have happened to you.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I think you still, Jamie, sound like me, somebody that would think at 14 it was a good idea to have sex with somebody who was 19 or 20. Did that happen to you?
No.
All right,
I've done that, but I don't know. I don't have any Vicks anymore. I kind of find an excuse to use other things that we have around here.
Such as?
Of course. Well, you switch over. You switch from one drug to the next, and that's just the nature of the beast. You will always go back to the opiates, though, once you get strung out on that. So, what are you going to do about this?
I don't know. Of course, the only person I've really confided in, my friend. She doesn't approve, but I don't know.
It's not about approving. Look, this is not approving or not approving. This is illness. You're sick right now. This is basically when somebody develops mental health issues at your age, these are the kinds of things that start happening. So you need to see a professional, and you need to probably go into probably a structured environment, and you need to get help. This is not going to stop on its own. It's going to get worse.
Okay.
Let me jump in for the voice of experience on this one, because he couldn't be more right, and it's so rapid with Vicodin and opiates. I've been drinking hard for... 30 years, 25 years, and I never finished, maybe once or twice, finished a whole bottle of vodka, but I'd be wasted. Within 1 month, of taking Vicodin where one would get me high. By the end of the month, I was taking up to 20 a day. They stop working faster than anything I've ever seen. You'll be taking handfuls within a year.
Want to get high?
And by the way, Vicodin causes... Yeah, I know you want to get high. But Vicodin causes nerve deafness. I had a guy taking 100 Vicodin a day.
Wow.
Yeah, it was good.
That's gnarly.
And he woke up one day with stone deafness. He couldn't hear anything. It's crazy.
Wow.
I've heard of that before.
Get help. This is really a dangerous situation. You may have periods where you do okay and think, oh, I don't need help. They know what they're talking about. But if you don't get help, the basic slope of what's going on here is going to be negative. And let's not let that happen to you, okay?
Yeah.
You've had an abusive dad. That wasn't your fault. Let's deal with the consequences. Got it?
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Good luck.
You're quite welcome.
That's a tough one. Yeah.
This is
a heavy. You knew somebody that took 100 Vicodin a day?
Yeah. My average patient.
I'm a death.
No, my average patient takes 30 to 50 a day.
Yeah, the guy I know that was really strong besides me, and I was up to about 20, but I was drinking super heavily. He was taking 55, and I thought he was lying. God, yeah, and then go deaf from him.
Yeah, easily. Heather.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay. Well, me and my boyfriend have been together for about 4 to 5 months, and I was the one to take his virginity. And now that's really, like, all he wants to do. And I understand that he's a guy, you know, and that's normal. But, like, right now I think I'm pregnant. I'm really emotional.
Oh.
And he's not giving me, like, he only cares about sex. Like, I know he loves me, but he's just...
Where is that
music? He has a really hard time.
Anderson?
Like, talking about sex and dealing with stuff.
Thank you. You're pregnant at 16.
Wow.
And you're talking like a mix between a Vietnam helicopter nurse and a 30-year-old mother of eight.
Are you a Mormon?
No.
Okay. So what's going on? You're pregnant? What are you going to do about that?
I don't know.
Well, you got to know.
And how pregnant?
I think I'm pregnant. I'm not positive yet.
Have you had a pregnancy test?
I took a urine one, and it came up negative, but I'm, like, a week late on my period, and...
Those things are pretty good.
Well, Take another one,
and this time try reading the directions. you want to actually hit the stick with the urine stream. That's what it says. But there's just so many issues. But here's my question. When he's badgering you about sex, which takes longer? For him to badger you, will he bother you about sex all day, or give him sex, which will probably take, what, 8 minutes tops?
It just depends on the mood I am. Sometimes I'll give it to him, and sometimes I'm just like, no, I don't feel like it.
Well, if you don't feel like it, you shouldn't do it. But I don't think you feel like getting badgered all day either. My wife eventually came to that conclusion. It's easier just to give it up, and you know, then I'm good all day. Or I'll bug her or look at her sad all day long.
Yeah.
So it's a personal decision. You know, if you don't want to have sex when you don't feel like having sex, then don't. But then you're going to get badgered and give the guy a break because that's all he can think about.
Well, in principle, no. He's talking with a spouse. And in principle, I understand and agree with what Danny's saying. But Heather's 16, pregnant with a crazy boy.
Yeah. See, I'm not driving tonight. I don't have all the information in front of me. 16 is outrageous.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's all right. The situation is so out of hand, and I'm trying to figure out why. And Heather, why such a mess? Do your parents know you're pregnant?
No.
Do you have parents?
Yeah.
They're both in your life?
She doesn't know she's pregnant.
I know, but that just still sounds like a crazy situation.
Right.
They both are in your life?
Yeah. My dad's like a state away, but yeah, I still talk.
Yeah, that's what I'm figuring. And your mom kind of a pain in the butt?
Yeah, I don't really spend a lot of time at home.
Okay, so we have your parents present, but not in your life, and you're running amok. You know, it was an interesting thing that happens. I really never talk about this very much, but during adolescence, the part of the brain is called the prefrontal cortex that we use to screen impulses stops working, and it literally is during that period of time that you use adults' functioning prefrontal cortex to help you contain your own impulses. So when you don't have parents or adults you can trust, all those lovely impulses come piling right through. So all these things you think are good ideas end up in chaos and misery and sort of these overwhelming situations like this.
Yeah.
I think the first order of business is to deal with the pregnancy. maybe get, you know, some counseling with that, family planning, whatever, Planned Parenthood. Then if that's, you're not pregnant, let's get on some birth control. And then the next order of business is to deal with this jack-off boyfriend. You know, just tell him to get off your case a little bit. You don't have to serve him at his whim, and that's just the way it is. And then start taking care of yourself. Maybe focus on your school and get away to college, that kind of thing. I don't know what else to say. It's just an overwhelming situation. Brian.
Well, yeah, jack-off boyfriend would save all her problems.
Her boyfriend jacking off. Yeah.
That'd be fine. What's up, Brian? Man?
I have a question for Danny.
Yeah.
Hey, what was it like? That was a while ago. Weren't you on The Simpsons?
No, I keep getting asked that. No, I was not. I think somebody that drank and smoked too much must have been on The Simpsons, because no, it wasn't me.
Oh, all right. Well,
but I've done 100 cartoon voices, but that wasn't one of them.
What cartoons have you done?
Oh, God, nothing important. And nothing important. No, it's not me. I get that call a lot, but thank you.
I've done, on behalf of my sons, I begged people for these two voice roles, and I got them. One was, I did a couple voices for Family Guy.
That's the one I totally want to do that.
It's awesome. It's amazing what he's got going over there. So Family Guy was one, and the other was Robot Chicken.
I've never even seen that one. I watch Family Guy with my daughter, which sometimes is a bad call, but we do it anyway.
Yes.
The only one I ever did, and she didn't care for the show at all. I just auditioned for it and got it just because I wanted to do a cartoon. Was Ozzy and Drix, that they're inside a human body of a kid. They're germs. They're white corpuscles.
Oh, right.
And they fight antibodies and stuff.
Yeah.
I did that. I played a germ.
That's very funny.
Shocker.
That's Nina.
Yeah.
Hey, Nina.
What's up there?
Hi. Hello.
Yeah,
so you speak. Here you go.
Okay, so I give oral sex a lot, and I like it better than regular sex, and I want to know why.
Wait, you do what better than regular sex? You like it better? You give it better?
I like it better, and I don't know why.
Giving or getting?
Giving.
Wow.
Danny's mystified by our callers. Nina, I don't know that we can... Unless it's something you want to tell me about some sort of horrible experience you had. And again, horrible experiences get converted into these arousing experiences in adulthood.
I want to ride the pony, Daddy.
Like that one. be that as it may, it just may be your preference. I don't know that we can say there's a why to that so much.
Okay.
Did nothing horrible happen to you?
No.
Okay, so it's just you. That's fine.
Yeah.
Do you have sex?
Huh?
Do you have sex?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. This is a so... I don't care.
But she's 18. You're 18, Nana. Now, interesting. Nina sounds 12, not
right.
But not in the usual... What?
I sound 12?
You sound 12... This is going to sound awful, but you sound 12 intellectually. A lot of our callers sound 12 emotionally. You sound 12 like... You're sort of out of it. You should be in college. What's going on?
No, I don't know
what's
going on.
What?
You were pregnant?
What? I'm not pregnant.
Oh, boy. Nina, what did you just say to me before the I'm not pregnant?
I didn't say anything. I said I'm not pregnant.
Okay, this is like scratching a scab.
Yeah, can you just bang the phone on your helmet just so we know you're there?
Okay, I'm going to move on. Oh, my.
Sometimes it's the best of times, it's the worst of times, Doc. All of a sudden, I was riding high just a second ago.
Pow. Knocked down to
Boom.
Sarah.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, how you guys doing?
All right, okay. She's going to fix everything. I can feel it. No pressure.
Yeah, I've been hanging out with this guy for about a week or two, and we've known each other since we were, like, 8. And lately, we've been getting, like, intimate, and everything is totally awesome, but when we hang out, he's just so immature.
When you hang out alone together or with
both,
other people?
But when it's just the two of us and when we're with our friends, he's just, like, off in his own world or just doing something ridiculous. And it's like, I don't know how to tell him that it's not just a turnoff. It's like, I'm almost embarrassed to be with him sometimes, but I like him so much that I want to try to work it out.
Give me an example of what he does.
Like, we were at my pool, 2 days ago, and I was trying to nap, and he would, like, throw leaves on me or something, and I'm just like, dude, you're ridiculous, you know?
How old is this guy?
He's 19.
Here's what he's doing, Sarah. He's treating you the way he and his buddies treat each other and want to be treated. Men, I mean, they use violence and aggression and teasing all the time.
Right.
That's what they're sort of how they, those are terms of endearment for a male.
Right.
That's how you feel connected. So it's just that you got to bring him around. This, you're probably his first girlfriend. Is that true?
No, actually, he's been dating since like the sixth grade. But I think like what you're saying about treating his buddies like that, I think that's always been my biggest problem is I've always been one of the guys.
Yeah, so maybe you've actually played a role in encouraging him or making him feel like it's okay to be that way. And you've got to sort of bring guys around. You've got to educate them because they don't know. They think they know what they like, and they're naturally enough think, well, that's what she likes too. Straight up.
Straight up. It's a kind of a standard thing that, you know, young men get really confused about this stuff. And they really, and if you've led them to believe you're one of the guys, and you personally need to be careful about that. Because a girl who is one of the guys too often and hangs, you'll become, just because of your genitalia, just because of your gender, your one of the guy duties will be have sex with one of the other guys.
Ooh,
and you don't want to fall into that trap.
Yeah. Or you just become friend and not a girl. You just become another male friend.
Yeah.
So.
Bummer.
So, but is he ever more sort of reasonable with you or just sort of?
Yeah, no. Like sometimes we'll be watching a movie and all of a sudden he'll get like super cute and just want to cuddle and want to talk nice. And it's like, it's just two total different flip-flop worlds sometimes. And that's why it's like half the time I'm totally enamored by him and half the time I'm just like, get away from me.
Yeah, guys cannot understand that turn off switch that women have when it comes to them being sort of goofy or what they think is fun and aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
To them it's like, come on, loosen up, relax, we're just
right.
goofing around. How could that be a total shutdown to you just because I'm, you know, throwing leaves at you or splashing you or something? I mean, it really is back to pulling the pigtails.
I was thinking socking in the arm.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. And they just cannot understand how that is experienced by you. Again, unless you sit them down in a quiet moment and say, look, seriously, I'm concerned about you and our relationship and how you're perceived by women, especially me, and you need to hear this and just lay it out. And guys, hey, they will be so appreciative. They want to know. Really, that's the only way they learn this stuff, all right?
All right,
good luck.
Thank you, guys.
Good luck. Okay, here we go. This is...
She used the word enamored. We're back on track.
We're good. Lewis.
Yeah, it's all right. Lewis?
Hello, Lewis?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's up, Dr. Drew? I was wondering if LSD could, lower the sperm count.
I don't know.
You can think it turned colors.
I don't know that for a fact. Any medication can, let's face it, any substance can affect sperm production and sperm effectiveness. When couples are working on their fertility, you know, the guys are asked not to take anything until, you know, drink, and so it's possible, but I don't know, I've not heard that it characteristically does so. Why?
I was just wondering.
How often do you dose?
It depends on how much money I have.
Dude, acid's cheap. How often do you dose?
Let's hope it kills a sperm dead.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. Here's what I can tell you, is that there is ample evidence that brain cells are damaged by hallucinogenics via the glutamatergic system. If you read about that, you'll see it. Something called excitotoxicity causes something called apoptosis of brain cells. Well-established. I can also tell you that in the psychiatric hospital where I work, I see acid users all the time with chronic, profound, difficult-to-treat depressions that often come on 10 years after they were using the acid and become disabling much of their life. It's a drug that scares me as much, if not more, than many of the others. So I would be very, very careful. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, good times.
I'll tell you, there's nothing spookier than when a doctor says, and the ramifications can hit you in a decade. It's like I had to go right to my mental calendar on that.
So you went to counting up your acid.
I never found that attractive, like five times my whole life, but the first time ever, the debut of Star Wars 1977. I wouldn't have missed it for the world. But I had to go right to my mental calendar when you said it can hit you in 10 years.
Well, about 20 hits is where we really start seeing the problems, in my experience. 20, yeah, there's maybe even 30 or so.
And it's my experience that that guy's taking it by the sheet. That guy's taking liquid vials of it.
And I've seen weird ass from acid. So people taking lots of it. I've seen something called normal pressure hydrocephalus. Oh, just horrible stuff. Anyway, Vincent.
Hello?
Hey there.
Hey.
What's happening?
Nothing. My question was, when I have sex with my girlfriend, like every time, she always climaxes before I do, like within like 5 minutes or so. I was just wondering, because like I can never finish before her, and I was wondering if there's like a way I could slow that down or speed mine up or what.
You could sort of work on yourself before the action starts kind of thing.
Or she could.
I do her, and I don't like touch myself or anything.
Is this from intercourse? She climaxes from intercourse?
Strictly intercourse.
Rare.
And she does it before you?
Yeah, like...
And you're calling a radio show rather than having sex with her this second?
Well, it's hard to get her, but when I do.
Dude. I think the last time I made a girl climax from intercourse, Carter was president. You might just want to say thank you. That's all.
I love Danny's. He's like, dude, oh my god.
Yeah, all right. It's like, hey, Dr. Drew, I just found $8 million in untraceable bills. Yeah, what okay, go.
Vincent, you could have her work on you, or you could work on you before the real action starts. You know what I'm saying?
All right. I've tried, but I don't know.
Oh, by the way, you can smoke less pot. Yeah.
Was it the laugh? Was it the laugh that gave him away?
Absolutely. He's definitely got the pot smoking laugh. So,
oh, Vincent, that'll happen.
Yeah, the pot will slow you down like crazy. So I suggest you maybe back off that completely. That might help you out. 1-800-LOVE-191. Yeah, pot smokers have aside from that goofy laugh like Vincent had, they also lose their laugh. They're like,
yeah, it's like they're telling you they're laughing. Yeah, that's good, man.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the phone number. Danny Bonaducci, Dr. Drew, and you. We'll be right back. Yeah, but particularly like if my experience, Jamaican guys freak out about that a little bit.
As a matter of fact, that's so funny you said that, because you get nervous with a doctor, you have a safety net. My Jamaican friend actually said, "Yo, man, if it ain't cooked, I'm not eating it."
Yeah, well, they have a whole thing about the menstrual period. They just absolutely just go bananas during that.
He's got a couple of brothers that are half black, so I don't know if that would make a difference.
I don't know. Is there any possibility, and I am not, normally I'm happy to be gratuitous, so I just want to give you a heads up when I'm not. Is this possibly an issue with you? Is there some reason specifically he might not want to?
I don't think so, because it's never come up before. I've dated quite a few guys.
Lana, this is an Andy Dick song. Tell me if it speaks to you.
Oh, my poon's held. I need a douche right now.
Anything?
No, it doesn't speak to me.
It doesn't speak to anyone but dogs, I don't think.
Oh, my.
So your other boyfriends have done it, and there's no problem. Have you asked him why he won't?
I tried to trick him last time that we were, like, I went down on him while we were having sex, and then he came up and, like, tried to have sex, and I said, wait, go down on me first. And he stopped, and he said, I don't know how.
That can be the thing. Some guys really feel uncomfortable and sort of, ashamed that they don't know what to do. They don't know how to. Here's what you got to do. It's very simple, ladies. Very, very simple. A, you have all the power. You have all of it. 100%. All you got to say is, we are not having sex unless you do the following. Then, in those instructions, include very specific guidelines of what you'd like him to do. He will do it. That's it. Over. Okay? Just be really clear.
The doctor not be more right on this. If you said we're not having sex again until you build the Great Pyramid of Khufu, he'll be back from Egypt in a little while.
It'll be done.
He'll do it. I can't believe that girls and women don't still know this. That you have all the power in the world. if my wife said to me, you know, your left arm kind of makes you look fat and unattractive, you better hack that off or we can't have sex. I'd gnaw through it myself.
Done. Yes, that's it. This now is Kofu, huh?
Kofu.
See, was he the... Oh, well. Anyway, Michael. Michael?
Hello.
Here we are.
How you doing tonight?
We're good. What's up with you?
Man, I'm seriously, I've been having some problems. I'm getting out of a long relationship. I think I'm turning into a borderline alcoholic or something. Experimenting with,
boy.
Kind of drugs also.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. First of all, Anderson, are we good to go on him? He's used, dropped the S-bomb there. Anderson? Hope
Anderson.
Hey, Drew, when I'm, yeah, right after they cuss, I usually have to concentrate and listen to the delay, so I can't talk to you.
Okay. But you got it?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Michael.
Yes, sir.
All right, hey, Michael, first things first, man. You cannot curse. Are you hip to that? Do you get that?
Yes, sir. My fault.
Oh, fine.
And,
just don't do it.
And don't drive a car loaded either, which it seems what you're doing right now.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay.
And get off the phone.
Rain Man.
Get off the phone.
All right, here's the deal. You're an addict alcoholic. You're starting to pick up momentum with drugs and alcohol. You're starting to have consequences and do things you shouldn't be doing. Go get help. If you want to just sit down at a 12-step meeting, take cotton out of your ears, put it in your mouth, just listen. I don't know what else to say. It's not something that's going to stop on its own. Danny, what do you think?
I think you couldn't be more right. If I had a dollar for everyone that said take the cotton out of your ears and put it in your mouth, but nobody who is in the position to be told that to hear that, does it. It took me years. I would hope that that young man takes that advice. And, you can get a booklet, a directory of every 12-step meeting in your area. Just open your phone book. AA is listed. Call them at their central office. They'll tell you where to go.
There you go. This is Andrea.
Yes.
What's happening, Andrea?
Nothing. Hi, Danny. Hi, Dr. Tree. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Good. Okay, well, I have a boyfriend, well, fiance now, that he's concerned that, you know, he's not jealous, but he gets concerned about guys that I know, but yet any girl that he knows or comes in contact with, I'm not jealous with, because I'm really not threatened with them, and he thinks that it's not that I care, he doesn't think that I care about him because I'm not threatened by them. He thinks I should be, like, all overprotective.
I don't know that I can help you, but I can tell you this. I am your fiance. If my wife knows a guy, I'm insane. If my wife talks to a guy...
Danny, it's just like that. Danny, it's just like that. Like, I could trust him with any other female... Okay, sorry.
Did you get it?
I didn't say it.
Okay. He'll get it.
Okay, I cut myself off. I don't care at all.
Right, but you need, the other half is... All right, so if my wife is talking...
The guy, he, like, just loses it, and it's like, you know, I'm not threatened with any other female, and neither
he... He hates that. Be a little threatened for him. What the hell? What's that cost you?
I told him, I go, you know, hey, that's nice. You know, I'm glad, but don't act like a total jerk in front of everybody, because it doesn't entertain me at all, and it makes you look like a butt in front of everybody.
Part of the thing I think that drives guys like that crazy is women going, what's the big deal? These guys are just my friends. And he's going, no, you don't understand. I understand guys.
Right.
And the fact that you don't understand how the guy's brain works is what's bothering me.
I really don't want to know how it works either, because that thing is just way worse, you know.
It is. It's a warp. It's, you know what? God made man first, and he realized his mistake, and then made women.
I don't want to comprehend that. That thing, it'll confuse me worse at all.
But,
I mean, seriously.
That is very much the point.
Dr. Drew, a lot of things that you've said, it's really weird, like how you've said things. It's like girls that lose their virginity young and girls that have, you know, it's like, I don't know, like my fiance, he says that a lot of stuff that I've dealt with. Like, I had psychology when I was younger, and I don't understand why, you know. I was suicidal at a young age, and I just had a lot of problems. I was a drug addict, and now I'm totally cleared up. And he's just like, you know, I told him, you know, I don't know why I was like that. Honestly, like, a lot of them were like, you just had an addictive personality. And I don't buy that.
There's some truth to that. However, just think of it this way, that there's something happened to you that made the duration...
I want to understand. I really want to know. Like, you say,
just
like,
some
girls call up... And
whatever it is that happened to you made you interrupt doctors. Now, just be quiet for a second and listen to Dr. Drew. It'll help you.
That the duration and intensity of feelings, particularly negative feelings, were too prolonged and too intense. And as a result of that, you look for solutions, and those solutions that are afforded young people or a culture offers them are things like drug and alcohol and sex, because that makes you feel better in that moment. So people initially develop relationships with those kinds of behaviors to feel better. Now, the question is, you're asking, why did you feel worse? Why were you so uncontrolled? Well, your friend's right. Maybe there was something biologically there. That happens. And then finally, some sort of issue in the family system, some sort of chaos or some sort of problem that maybe you weren't aware of or don't remember, but it was there. I guarantee it.
Really, though? God, that's crazy, because I just...
Well, let's talk. Remember, all right,
seriously, because when I hear, I listen to Love Line all the time, like, religiously.
And okay, Andrew, let's get into it. Did your family break up? Did your parents break up?
My parents are still together, 35 years.
And did they both work?
My dad worked. My mom was a stay-at-home mom until I was in eighth grade.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
Three brothers, two sisters. And I'm the middle daughter, and...
Did you get enough attention?
Yes, I did. My dad loved me to death.
No, not your dad. Mom.
Idea.
Your mom.
My mom has always been there for me.
And were the other siblings, were they sort of rough on you in any way?
No, my older sister, she had a daughter, and I was always, like, really good with her. But my older sister was kind of mean, just like a regular older sister, but nothing other than that.
What do you mean? Every now and again, Doc, even one of the Cleaver children go bad.
My fiance,
oh, absolutely.
Hardcore relate the religion that they shoved on me.
Who was this? Who did that?
My parents' religion. I had to be in church.
And did you experience that as, was some of the imagery traumatizing?
I went in there hungover and spun out.
She's dark sided too!
I don't know, I listen, I wonder what the heck's wrong with me, but I guess I need a lot more deeper than this.
Yeah, it would take a lot to figure it out. You have to sit with somebody and kind of, you know, go through these things and try to get to the bottom of it. But the fact is, you're doing fine now, so maybe you don't need to do that. And so who cares? You found your way out of it. You're fine.
So the jealousy I'll never understand with the man, right?
No, just understand that they do it. You know, you don't need to know much more than this. If you're with a guy and he's just your friend, your boyfriend's going to be jealous. And if he's with a girl and you're not jealous, that will bother him, even if he's sleeping with her, which he probably is, or he wouldn't be with her.
No, he would. He held her. I'd knock her out.
See, tell him that.
He knows that. He just wants me to be like he is, and it's not going to happen.
And tell me again, when you were in your bad phase, what was happening? You just drank too much, and what else?
I drank, I did coke, and I was in a very abusive relationship. My first relationship, I was in an abusive relationship.
How old were you when that happened?
14.
Oh.
And how old was the guy?
15, 16.
And were you running away from something at that point in your home?
No, I just met him and liked him, and I hung out with him for a long time.
You know, sometimes there is that too.
When I was 14, I hooked up with him, and when he started getting abusive, I was 16.
But there is that as well. That sometimes people get involved in relationships, and women, you know, that cycle of abuse that women get into.
It happened to me.
Just shut up.
I dumped him.
I told you.
Just shut up. But it can become by itself a source of very serious mental health issues. You can get depressed. Suicidality, drug use, all that can come just from a relationship.
Uncontrollable chatter.
Yeah, she is a little intrusive there. Time to start listening, goddammit. But, Andrea, you're doing fine. You sound fine. Just relax. So that's it. Okay, Nina.
Yes.
Hi, Nina.
What's happening?
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Huh?
Go ahead.
Here we go.
Okay, I have a question for you. I don't know, it's kind of embarrassing, but every time me and my boyfriend have sex, right, and I climax before him, I keep trying, you know, to wait for him to come, and I don't know, it starts to hurt, and, I just can't do it, and I just want to, just stop, and I feel so bad, because I know that it really, makes him mad when I do that, but...
I'm pretty sure your boyfriend just called. Because I've never heard of this before, and now this is the second time in one night.
A woman going before a guy for Danny is mystifying.
It's mystifying. It's like guys that don't want to do it.
I know it is. It is. You know, I've heard from a lot of my friends that they're like, "Oh, you're so lucky." But I mean, I don't know. I can't explain it.
First of all, and it bothers him.
Well, I mean, of course it'll make him mad, because then it's like, you know, he wants me to, he always wants to be the first one to do it, you know, and I just can't help it. I just.
Okay, let me tell you, and I can't believe that he doesn't know this, okay? When you finish first, he just keeps going until he finishes normally, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now a guy thinks that he's going to do all these magic things to this girl, and he's gonna do this, and he's going to have sex, but then he's going to stop, and he's going to perform oral, and then he's going to do this, and he's going to do that. And then if accidentally, somewhere in there, he climaxes, all his wildest hopes and dreams are over.
Yeah.
It's as if you really want a steak dinner. But first, you have 5 plates of pasta. No matter how great the steak looked a minute ago, you're full now. You just don't want it. So tell him he's lucky and to shut up.
Well, you know, I just, like, I feel bad because I guess we're both kind of competing because if I want to do it first and then I don't want to continue, and then he wants to do it first and then, of course, you know, he's not going to continue. And it's just like, I don't know, I feel bad. I don't know what to do. It's like,
all right, Nina, here's the deal. Here's
it all.
That's interesting. What? First of all, once you climax, of course, you're not as aroused. You can dry up. It can become sort of problematic and uncomfortable. That's a normal reaction. So for you to feel bad about that is ridiculous. Secondly, he should be counting his blessings.
That
is
right.
Easier for you. And he should be sort of figuring out a way to time himself. Maybe you can help him. You know, at a certain point, you need to be responsible for your own sexual responsiveness. You need to be able to sort of manage it on your own. Or to sort of, and the fact that you guys can't sort of look at this collaboratively or, you know, have it fun with it, it speaks about the relationship not being that great. And so it may be more about that, and you'll find somebody else who will do a touchdown dance every time.
That's what I was saying. I would get her go, oh! If I was having sex with a girl, she goes, oh, I'm sorry, I just finished. Dude, thank you. My wife and I are in a competition, too. I try and finish first, and she wants me to get off her. So we've really worked out some sort of situation there. You should tell your boyfriend to just be grateful.
That is Danny Bonaducci, and his proud wife, Gretchen, is listening at home.
Phone don't number be mean is to me.
1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. We'll be right back. Go, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Danny Bonaducci in here with us all week long, and this now is John.
Hey, Dr. Drew. I called back a while ago. I have lupus nephritis. I don't know if you remember.
I do.
I just had a quick question. What are the repercussions of child-on-child sexual abuse?
I can't get past the lupus nephritis because I remember, well, I'm having the same reaction I guess I had last time, which is that's so rare in a young male.
Oh, yeah, I know. I get that a lot, too, from all my doctors.
Are you okay? Are you on Cytoxan? I mean, what are you doing?
I did Cytoxan for 6 months. Got the normal 6 infusions, and now I'm just on prednisone and Plaquenil. Pretty low doses, but I'm doing, like, really good.
And your kidney function is preserved?
Yep.
Good, okay. Yeah. All right, what is child-on-child abuse?
Oh, no, like, what are the repercussions? Because, I had to go through that when I was a youngster.
Victim abuser?
I guess a victim.
Okay.
It's variable. It's clearly not as impactful as, say, if your dad or your uncle or somebody, a family member whom you feel close to, whom you relied on for your protection, is violating and exploiting you. That's obviously more shattering.
Yeah.
It can create a lot of confusion and ambivalence about your sexual identity and about sexuality in general. And sometimes it passes without much conflict. But it can sort of scramble things a bit, let's say.
Oh, all right.
And some people...
Can I put in my 2 cents?
Yeah. For instance, just really quickly... I've noticed it's more common when young girls are acting out with each other for that to result in a sort of a committed lesbian orientation than necessarily boy on boy ending up in a committed homosexual gay orientation. It's been my experience anyway. It can create a little bit of confusion about, I have kind of funny feelings for guys, and those are the guys that will sometimes say, you know, I had sex with this guy, but I don't think I'm gay, and I'm just kind of confused, as opposed to a young woman calling, just say, look, I'm a lesbian, and that's that, and I keep choosing bad partners, and then we go back and find out there was girl-on-girl child abuse. What's up with you?
It was just a while ago, and, well, I'm like 18 now, probably like when I was like 7, but it was like a girl on me.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, I could see, like, my past relationships, like, were pretty, I don't know, I could say I was, like, really scared of intimacy, and I just didn't want, I couldn't, like, stand being close to anyone, but, like, I think, like, I've really changed now, and I had therapy for a little bit.
You'd be fine. It'd be great, John. Don't worry about it.
Here's my 2 cents, dude. You have lupus. You don't have time for these shenanigans. Forget all that stuff. Move on. Get yourself a girl. Be all happy. Take your meds and live your life. Okay?
You've
got a serious condition right there. Well, whatever kind of partner it is that you want, and move along.
Gertrude, what's happening there? Yeah.
Oh.
Is your name really Gertrude?
No, it's not.
Okay. I was going to say.
Okay. So there's this guy that I was kind of dating. It wasn't really committed or anything like that. And we were, like, fooling around, whatever, and I'm a virgin, so, like, and I'm not really experienced at all. And
are you
so,
still a virgin?
Yeah.
How old are you?
20.
Good for you. If you're doing it to wait for some moral reason, that's great.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and so
you're fat.
We were, like, what?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Okay. And so we were, like, fooling around, and I'm not really, like, sure about him, and, like, I was only with him, I think, because I couldn't think of why I wouldn't be with him. And so he was like 2 years younger than I am, so he was like 18. But basically, like, we were making out, and all of a sudden, like, he started, like, basically, like, humping me. And, like, he, like, you know, he came and everything, and then but he wouldn't do anything to me because he said that would be too sexual. And he was really dirty, and I was wondering if, like, and I got mad at him for it, like, a while later because I had to, like, process it and, like, think about it. I'm like, well, maybe it was something I did, or maybe something happened, or
maybe he's a selfish pig.
Yeah, he's all screwed up, Gertrude. I mean, he may exploited you and made you feel like you were some sort of, like, a pillow or something that he humps, and then he walks away like, no, you're gross. I can't touch you. That'd be dirty. That's not right.
It's not right.
Really, it's what we call empathic failure. He just can't appreciate what you're feeling at all.
Yeah, and I got mad at him, like, we broke up for, you know,
good.
Whatever. Good. Because, like, what?
Good.
We both said good. We're glad you broke up with him. I'm afraid that the sentence continues with when you got back together, right?
Okay, no. He's out of the picture.
Good.
Never
good.
Again. Yeah, and he, like, and I called him last night, and I was like, you know, this is what happened, and it's just been going, you know, it's just been bothering me. And he also told me that, like, in so few words that he didn't think I was beautiful. And I'm an attractive girl. Like,
oh, he's an a-hole. Just get,
he's an a-hole.
He's a total idiot. So don't get on, have another relationship. Get on with it.
That's
just get
thing.
On.
Like, that's the thing. Like, I go to a school where, you know, there's just beautiful people everywhere, and I can't find anybody who appreciates me and, like, all my quirky wonderness.
You're fat.
You what?
You live in San Diego. There's tons of people down there. Come on.
Yeah, everybody's beautiful.
Yeah, like, get involved in that. What?
Either, like, the guys, like, just want sex, and obviously that's not something I'm going to give to somebody, or they, you know, don't want to talk to me, and I don't really know why. Like, I'm really attractive, and I
just get involved in other activities, do some things, you know, find things you want to do that make you happy, and meet people in organized activities where you're all doing the same kind of thing. Don't worry.
I'm not weird?
No, you're fine. Okay. Every week sounds, feels like an eternity when you're 20, but just what school are you going to?
USD.
USD, yeah. God, that's, have you ever been down there, Dana? The school's
yeah.
So beautiful up on the hill.
Boy, they're not even giving lectures there.
I have.
Really?
I'll bet not on the same stuff.
Well, drug and
oh,
alcohol.
Oh, wait, maybe. Right.
Drug and alcohol, but I'm sure you've done the same thing.
I go a couple departments. First, I go to the arts department, then I go over to the drug and alcohol guys.
Monica. We should do a dog and pony show together. That'd be interesting.
That would be great.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Monica.
That's a great idea.
That is a good idea, I know. What's happening there? Yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess somebody called by now about child abuse, and I was molested when I was about 3 years old, and I started seeing a therapist, and he's a male. The thing is, I feel like I might be falling for him now.
Happens That's all the time.
Yeah, people not normally, but as a part of the therapy, have to work through these feelings of hatred and love and all kinds of things. It's called transference, and it's a good sign. It's a sign you're getting deeply into your therapy. It's common that for people that have been sexually abused to have very poor, what we call, boundaries, so they can't really do anything with their feelings. They sort of flow out of them to the other person. And what this therapist, I hope to God he's a good therapist, will do, will set boundaries for you so you learn to contain those feelings and learn to manage them on your own.
Well, see, that's the thing, though, because, I mean, it's kind of like I'm in a relationship and he's in a relationship, and he's a lot older than I am.
Monica, I know it's confusing for you, but if he responds to your feelings
in any way,
run like hell. His job is to sit there and listen to you while you struggle with those feelings, but to not respond to them at all.
That's the therapy. Here's how easy this is to know. For you to go in and tell your deepest, darkest secrets to a guy who is essentially everything your mother told you should marry yourself a doctor, and you're going in and spilling your guts, that's all normal. For a guy, on the other hand, to respond back could lose his license, if not actually go to jail. That would be bad if he responds.
And again, for the sexual abuse history, the most important thing is learning the boundaries, and that's the one thing that you need, is not somebody to reenact the abuse, but to block it. And you're going to hate it. And you're going to hate him for not responding to your love, and that's the therapy. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. That does it for another episode of Love Line, Danny. Very good show. Well done.
Thank you, sir. You too, by the way. Well done. Hey, we should take this on the road and do it live.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. I'm gonna make some calls tomorrow.
Cool.
Or maybe the next day. Tomorrow I'm going to be beat. But you're absolutely right that we should do this because it'd be a very interesting presentation.
It'd be cool.
Okay, guys, this is Dr. Drew, and Dana will be back tomorrow night. So until next time, we're saying goodnight and stay well.